Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Also, like I said, these expectations that you're putting into all these interactions is wild. It's wild, bro.
Yeah.
The only place where that kind of shit works is fucking Love Island. So, you know, I've never...
Maybe go on Love Island.
I've never given this piece of advice before, but I think you should probably go on Love Island.
We'll watch it for sure.
I would love
sure,
to watch
man.
It.
I would root for
He's
you.
He's in the age range. I think he could make it on Love Island.
Yeah. Welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You. I am Nikki Limo, one of your hosts.
Also known as Nicole Limo Green from the poker world.
That's true. We didn't even talk about that.
No, we didn't. It's pretty funny.
It's pretty funny.
And what's up, everybody? It's Crypto King here. So what's going on today?
What's going on today is we have collected a few more of your questions you have submitted to us at podcast@nikki.limo. That's podcast@nikki.limo. If you have a question you would like us to answer on the show about anything life related, like literally any life related quandary you have, we are not experts at all. So if you choose to follow our advice, that's on you, bro. This is for entertainment purposes only. However, we will try to the best of our abilities to give you the most solid advice that we can give you as your internet parents.
And if one of our cats randomly jumps on the camera, please forgive us.
There are four cats in here.
Yeah, legit.
Usually they don't all conglomerate in one room.
They're taking it
but
over.
But they are
And Tommy
here.
Has that wild look in his eye like he's going to jump on a camera.
Oh, yeah. He looks like he's going to jump on a camera.
He's looking at the viewfinder like he's going to jump on it.
Yeah.
So if that happens, we apologize.
We apologize in advance.
Yes.
It could happen.
Yes.
So I am going to just jump right in here and get to our first question. Yes. I don't read these ahead of time, so I have no idea what people are going to ask about. Sometimes they like to give us compliments and...
Always encouraged.
We need that because we have very low self-esteem.
Very low
and
self-esteem.
We need those compliments. So let's hope for that. Here we go. This one is titled, I'm trapped. Please help. Oh, no.
Oh,
I hope that they weren't like literally trapped because this was sent in over a month ago.
Well, the human body can withstand quite a bit. So if they're hungry.
A month?
And hopefully they have water or they could drink their own urine.
Yeah, but you need to replenish that water supply to continue.
Can't you just drink your own urine forever? Literally
oh,
forever?
Like a cycle?
Yeah, think about it. I don't think you've read about this, and I have, so.
That's true. I have not yet read about that.
You can literally drink your own urine forever.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is, fact. I take back what I said before. We are experts at some topics.
There it is. Drinking your own urine? that's
just
me.
A circle. All right. Hi, Nikki and Steve. First of all, in love with the podcast, and I've been binge listening every day after work. Nikki, I have never related to someone more. And Steve, dude, you make me laugh so freaking much.
Aww, oh, thanks,
we love
bro.
You. Thank you so much
We're
for
quitting.
Listening.
We're quitting the show.
Thanks for all the advice and good vibes. Okay, down to business. Sorry if this is scattered, but I'm in between a rock and a hard place. I'm a 19-year-old about to be 20, and I'm living with my mom and her husband, not my dad. They have been together for almost 2 years and got married after only being together about 3 months. Wow. Okay, once they got married, they started arguing all the time and learning that he wasn't who he said he was, which she might have learned if she dated him longer, but she's an adult who can make her own decisions. Things got worse the longer they were together, and now my mom wants to leave him. Problem is, she doesn't have a job or anywhere to go. She also just had my baby brother, so job options are pretty scarce. I'm currently working and paying off a car. I'm trying to save money to move out. Problem is, if she's going to be able to move, she wants my help with signing on a house, watching the baby, and helping with the bills. I'm cool with helping out with the bills and babysitting while I live with her, but I want to be able to move out and learn about myself and go back to school. But I can't just abandon her and my younger siblings. She also wants to move across the state away from all the people I just started getting to know at work, including a guy who I'm getting really close to, but there's a whole other thing. So what do I do? Do I just ditch her and the kids and start renting? Or do I sign a 30-year contract with my mom to ensure her and my siblings' happiness and stability?
Huh? 30 years? You're 19 years old.
Am I? Well, they're to sign on a mortgage.
Oh my lord, fuck.
Am I being dramatic and selfish? Any advice would be amazing, and any tips on saving / making money would be great too. I love you guys so much. Thank you. Insert cool nickname here.
We love you. I don't think I'm at all qualified to answer this one.
I don't think so
this
either.
This is so scary.
This is a lot,
this
dude.
This is called, sometimes, and I don't really believe in this necessarily, but sometimes you're in what they call a no-win scenario.
Yeah.
And this sounds like that because you have a loyalty to your mother. Your mother wants you to help co-sign for this thing. It's really not for your own good that you do that because she's financially unstable. So it's really, you're just sort of taking a huge dice roll.
Yeah.
And by the way, the housing market is getting obliterated right now.
Yeah. And the interest rates are really high. Honestly, I want to know why she feels like she needs to buy a house. Like, you guys
exactly.
could maybe rent and you can help her with the rent.
Take a less risk option.
Yeah, I'm confused
because
on that part.
Because of your parameters, right? Sometimes me and Nikki are very open to risk, but only when you can absorb the risk.
Yes.
If you can't absorb the risk, then you're taking on a huge risk.
I'm sorry. I personally, and this again, this is take with a grain of salt because this is a really freaking hard one. And I don't think that there's any one correct, 100% correct answer. But I do believe you're very young and you are at a stage in your life where you really are needing to learn about yourself and like come into your own as an adult. And I understand completely not wanting to abandon your mom. I think
it's
that you're going to have to negotiate a little bit with her.
You have to stand up for yourself.
You do. I think that helping her out with maybe in the beginning just to get her feet on the ground, you know, like she needs help leaving this guy that she doesn't want to be married to anymore.
Yes,
okay, we understand
that.
So let's go step by step. You help her get through, you know, emotionally and like, you know, maybe financially get through the divorce and then help her get into a new place. Maybe you can co-sign on rent. That is also a risk because it's going to go on your credit. But, you know, maybe that's like a middle
more
ground.
Tenable.
Yeah, because if you break the lease, it's not the end of the world. If you break a mortgage, it's way harder. So I think maybe like help her out there and maybe helping with babysitting, all that stuff. If she's going to need your help with the money, I'm sorry, but she doesn't get to decide where to live. Like,
that's exactly right.
She can't be like, and I'm going to move across the country.
Exactly right.
I understand she wants to get away from your not stepdad, but whoever, like this guy that she was married to. But she just can't right now. Like, just like how you just can't pick up your life and leave right now. Like, she just can't like make you do that when you're not, you know, I'm not in a position. Like, she doesn't get to decide that part, I feel like.
Don't place yourself into a no-win scenario,
yeah.
right? Like, because I really don't believe in no-win scenarios. I really don't. Like, I really do think that there are ways to take advantage of, you know, whether it's you're putting a challenging place and you have to try to figure a way out of it. As long as you can see the road ahead and know to like, okay, I should de-risk myself here to try to avoid that pothole, I think you can avoid the no-win scenario. But I think that you're about to enter one, so you got to be very careful.
Yeah, I think just tread lightly. Hopefully that we got to this question in time because that was a month ago. But I would, definitely.
She's like, good news, I got the house with my mom.
I would definitely compromise, like look for the compromise in a way that like you would be helping her. And by the way, don't put it all on your shoulders of like, you have to do this or else your family is going to be in a shithole forever. Like, it's not your responsibility.
It's not fair.
You know, like you said with your mom, like could have dated longer and figured out, but she's a grown ass adult. Like, she's still a grown ass adult. And so she, you know, chose to have children. Mm-hmm. And that is her responsibility. I know that you love her and you want to help her, but it is still not your responsibility. that where if you fuck up, then it's your fault that they live shitty. Like, it's not, that's not fair to and yourself.
If it comes down to it, you always have the red button. You know what the red button is?
The breakup button?
No, it's not the breakup button.
What's the red button?
Well, it's your mom, right? So you can always say, your mom. I didn't ask to be born.
Your mom's the red button.
No.
Yeah, I didn't ask to be born.
You just hit that fucking button.
Over and over again. Yeah.
And that's how you win the argument.
And then she cries, and then you're like, I don't care, I'm still pressing the button.
I win the argument, bitch. I didn't ask to be born.
Stupid. Don't do that one.
No, please don't do that. But no, seriously, hey, look, you're in control of your own life. You know, and you can have sympathy for others, mm-hmm. but don't, you know, you have to put on the oxygen mask to breathe to help the person yeah. next to you. So don't put yourself in a situation where you can't breathe.
It's just never going to be worth it to sacrifice your own happiness for someone else in that degree. Yeah,
you'll resent them. You'll resent your mother.
And you'll resent yourself for not giving your own self a shot
exactly
at the life you could have had. So, yeah, I agree with the less commitment type of stuff, the more non-committal stuff, like where it's a lease that you're helping with, but it's not a mortgage, you know, where it's like, you'll help babysit, but that means she's got to live closer to you. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Like, hey, mom, I'm giving you this help for free.
Exactly.
So you have to make some compromises. You don't just get to choose to do everything the way that you want to do it.
Yep.
And then once you can help her, like once she eventually gets a job, she'll be able to afford maybe having a babysitter, like all that stuff. You know, you kind of like, let's take some baby steps here and hopefully that works out in a win-win situation for Amen. All of you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that you're going through that. That's a lot to go through at
that age.
Honestly,
rooting for you. Can't believe what a deck you have been dealt, but you can get through this.
Yeah. I mean, these things make you stronger.
Absolutely.
So, rooting for you.
For sure.
Please keep us updated. Let us know what happens. We love you. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Okay. This next one is titled, Was It Love or Was I a Stepping Stone? Okay.
Oh, no.
Okay. A little juicy. Hey, Nikki and Steve. I'm new to the podcast, but I have been listening to y'all since JK, and I'm really happy to learn a lot from y'all at this point in my life. I hope y'all and your family and your babies have been safe, thriving, and well. I will leave the anonymous nickname to you both. Ooh.
Oh, thank you, thriving Sick bitch.
Thriving bitch. Thriving bitch. Thanks for leaving us a message. Yeah. Okay, here we go. I am in a small cohort with the same people for a couple of years. I went to this program thinking I know myself, calm and collected, and doing my best so I can later support my parents. In the first semester, I did not expect to get really close to a classmate, my best friend in the program, and fall for her. We grew a lot closer and we went on a lot of dates. It was serious without a label. She put in the time and effort to look up the things I valued, my personal goals, and my mental health, and I would like to say I did the same. This was also the first time I dated someone who was going through a divorce. My therapist said, even if the love she receives is healthy, it is still one more thing to add on her plate. My best friend called off the romance to put more energy in herself, and I respect that. I don't know what her experience is like, but I can imagine it is difficult as hell. It has been a rough transition for me to not pretend to feel grief, and I feel like my energy is no longer warm and uplifting, just like bad juju to the people around me.
But you feel grief for over what?
For me to not pretend to feel grief. Feel grief about losing her, I would think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was ready for love, but now I struggle to act normally, eat, and go about my day. I wanted to ask if y'all have any advice on how to heal and learn from this experience in a healthy way and not have resentment for my best friend. At the end of the day, I care about her happiness and success. Thank you, Oofy Doofy. Okay.
Wait,
follow up. Maybe I missed some details that others usually include. I'm 28 and she's 24. We're in a graduate program together. Right now, I want to do as best as I can to feel what I need to feel and work on myself. I just want to process it in a healthy way, if you'll have any advice. Stay awesome, Icebreaker and Iceman. Thank you.
Well, the age difference is always something that...
I don't think that's... 28 and 24 is not...
It's a disaster.
Shut up.
Just trying to look for little things.
No, the age helps in a sense that, like, okay, 28, I'm like, okay, you're farther along in your adult life. Yeah. Like, it's not like 19, like the last one.
Yeah.
But it helps fill in some context of where you might be at this point. And, like, also, she's going through a divorce, okay, at 24.
Wow.
Okay, yeah. She's a little young.
Yeah.
And to go through a divorce at that age you're still figuring out who you are until, I believe, 26. 26 seems like the magical age to me where you think you know who you are, and then you get to 26 and you're like, okay, now I actually know who I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that.
If you've been working on yourself the whole time.
I agree with that.
Wow. Okay. So processing this, I think you're doing the right thing. I think you have a good head on your shoulders, it sounds like. I know you're talking about your energy not being as positive as you would like it to be or as it has been. And maybe you need to just focus more on the things that bring you joy, you know?
Absolutely.
Maybe you forgot a couple of what those were, you know, maybe they like nothing feels like it brings as much joy because of this thing that's happening. But I think that humans have the capability of just like mind over mattering a lot of things. And sometimes if you can just make a small adjustment and change what you're doing, like the way that you're deriving joy, like, or even acting as if, like, just pretending like you're having a good time, you trick your brain into having a good time.
Absolutely. No, focusing on yourself is the jam.
Yeah.
And honestly too, you won't even realize the things you were missing about yourself until you start to focus on yourself. And then you're like, oh shit, okay. Building new routines is really good too. Building a new routine.
And it's attractive and it helps support her. Like the way that you were saying that you just want to, you know, support your friend and care about her happiness and success.
Yeah.
I think that like one of the best ways that you can do that is to recenter and focus on your energy and like building that back up. And then, cause you're really not able to like root for someone if you can't, show up for yourself too.
Exactly. Focus on you more. Cause honestly, she has to focus on her to get through her divorce thing. So like you got to do this too.
Yeah. And I think that seeing a therapist would help too. Like absolutely. Even just like a couple sessions to work through grief. Cause when you go through a breakup, you do experience all the same symptoms as you do when someone dies. Like yeah. You experience when I used to be in acting classes and they would, we'd work on like targeting emotions for scenes. If I was doing a scene where like maybe I'm at a funeral, like my mom died or something, but my mom didn't really die in my real life. So what do I have to relate to? Well, they would tell you to bring up like a bad breakup or like a time a pet died or something. Like it all brings up the same emotions actually.
Yeah.
So you will go through those stages of grief, like where you're angry and you're sad and then you're mad and then you're confused and then you're in denial and then you're, you know, like you'll go through all the same kind of things if you really cared about someone and then you lost them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So give yourself that space. You know, it's okay. It's okay that you feel that way. It's okay that your energy is not like top level right now, but you can make little minor things, like things to be grateful for every day. That like, you know, I used to like when I was just in a really bad depression stage, just like focus on how thankful I was for the first sip of coffee in the morning.
Okay.
You know, like just little things where I like really enjoyed that experience. Even if I got nothing else for the rest of the day, the rest of my day sucks or whatever, like I have to go work at a job I hate or whatever. Like I just made the rest of the world disappear when I had that first sip of coffee.
Love it.
Because I enjoy that so much. And at least I got that moment that no one can take away from me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then it just builds up from there. You know, like you start noticing other things that you really appreciate in your life and then you start adding on to it and it just like kind of snowballs. But you have to kind of start with that grain of rice, good energy thing. Find it from somewhere, something, yes. Some little thing. And I'm sorry that you're going through that.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah. I hope you get through it soon.
Breakups are hard, man.
Breakups are really hard. Breakups are
freaking hard.
Especially like when you're the one that still cares.
Yeah, that's so rough.
Because it sucks the other way around too when you're like breaking someone's heart, but like, all right, you move on pretty fast.
Yeah.
But like when you're like the one that still cares.
Yeah, that's rough. You gotta re-bend your whole mind.
Yeah. Bending minds is hard.
It is.
Okay, this one is titled Fuck My Life HPV.
Okay. Uh-oh.
Okay. Hey, Steve and Nikki. Been watching for years. Big fan, and the pod is mad underrated. Now I get to write in with the bummer that is my life.
Oh.
Thank you for watching. We love you.
Thank you. At least the pod's underrated.
Yeah, it's exactly. Please rate us on iTunes so it will be properly rated.
Yeah,
thank you.
Five
stars, hopefully.
Yeah.
Backstory. I've only had sex with two people. I have always been paranoid about STDs, and I got tested before I even had sex because a dude ate me out and I wanted to make sure. I asked both of the two before sleeping with them, when they last had sex, and when they last got tested, / are they clean?
You sound fun. I'm kidding.
No, that's the good thing to do.
I know.
Don't fucking shit on that.
I'm not really shitting on it.
Okay.
I'm just being a shithead.
Yeah, you're being a dick. The first one lied and gave me chlamydia.
Oh my God.
4 months in and likely cheated. That was in 2016. The second one I was with for 3 years and he got tested right before, hadn't had sex for over a year prior, and was exclusive the whole time, ended in January this year. I get tested all the time anyways, just to be safe, and I have docs run for everything when I get paps. I got a pap 6 months ago and was good. Just went on a first date yesterday and have a second this week. He is a nurse / master's in public health. I got a pap on Friday just because I switched insurance and because I'm extra. I just got a fucking email today that I tested positive for one of the HPV-12 other DNA PCR strains. I have been vaccinated and got a booster 6 months ago. What the actual fuck? There is no testing for men with these strains. HPV 16 and 18 are Ward's strains and detectable in men because symptoms, but not in the cervical strains unless they get it in their throat or something and get abnormal cells there. Men just spread it. I know, girl. Dude, I have literally never had enjoyable sex in my life, and I finally got my life together and financially stable. I have sacrificed social life for years just to work and save money and dated people I was not compatible with and figured myself out to know for sure what I want. And I finally decided to be proactive and try to find a compatible partner, and this is my fucking luck. 2 partners, 2 STDs. I literally did not have sex with one person I ever really wanted because he had warts and didn't feel as strongly as I did, so I didn't want to risk it at 21. This is so fucking unfair. Apparently around 50% of people get some strains of HPV in their life. Dudes don't have to deal with this fucking bullshit / stigma and telling people because they won't even know if they have it.
Hey.
So true. I don't know if I should wait until I know there's chemistry or just tell him next time I see him or text him. He probably already has strains because he's older and likely sexually active before vaccines were out, but not like he'll know because, again, men don't test positive. We literally talked about STDs before and I gave him the whole spiel about how I make everyone get tested first and I've always been paranoid. Now I just found this out. I don't even know if I have a question. It's just not fucking fair. I love that you're just venting now.
Love it.
I guess, do you have any advice? Let me know. I've never had good sex in my life and it's pathetic and sad. Condoms fucking burn me and don't prevent HPV transmission anyways. Apparently the virus can clear up in 2 years on its own. 2 fucking years. Like, that's supposed to be a fucking relief. I haven't been able to call the doctor because they send me this stuff on a Sunday. Anyways, love you guys in the podcast, LMAO. Just can't catch a break. I'm going to have to tell this to everyone now and limit the microscopic amount of options I have because I so rarely feel chemistry anyway. And I guess if men in comments can share if this would be a deal breaker for them, please do. Thanks. So much luck, but only the bad kind. That's her name.
I think you're fine. Bad kind.
Yeah, I know. I want
HPV
to
is so
I
common,
give
fine.
You a hug.
We want to hug you real bad, but then you'd probably have us get tested first.
Can I tell you, I did open up about this on a JK episode, and there is a fucking stigma, which is ridiculous because, like you said, over 50% of people have it, and who knows how many men, probably more than 50% people have it because, like, men don't have symptoms and they're the ones spreading it. So I think it's a lot more. I have HPV. I got it. I was just as paranoid as you, so paranoid about STDs. Yep. Paranoid about getting pregnant, always wore a condom when hooking up with people, blah, blah, blah.
She only went horn a couple of times.
That's
right. Paid for sex.
This was, no, shut
Multiple
up.
Multiple times.
This was the third person I had sex with. And and then I freaked out like you. And I got tested. I had abnormal pap smear and they had to go in there and do a biopsy and, like, you know, cut a chunk out or whatever and, like, tested, and it was really intimidating and, like, so invasive, and I was just, like, crying because I didn't know what it meant. And a lot of people think it means warts, which, like you said, it's only 2 of the strains. There's 100 strains of HPV, and I think 13 are malignant, so they can lead to, like, cervical cancer and stuff. But the others are just benign. They're there. I don't even really know why, like, what about it is considered an STD, because, like, yeah, they're so benign, other than it just changes the shape of your cells, your squamous cells.
Nice.
I don't really understand it. I did have the same freak out as you, but it's not warts. A lot of, like, so when I mentioned it on JK, a lot of people were like, you have warts. And, like, first of all, if you have warts, like, it shouldn't be a stigma. So just, like, shut up.
Comment sections are a fucking blast, though.
I know. Like, it's a bunch of freaking 15-year-olds that haven't even had sex yet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, HPV is not that. It also, I have had normal pap smears for the past, like, 7 years. Mm-hmm. Once in a blue moon, I get an abnormal one. But usually I just go in again and then they're like, okay, it's normal again. Like, yeah, it's just weird. Like, it's just something that's kind of like some cells are off sometimes. I don't really know. I don't understand it. But yeah, like, so many people have it. It's just not talked about. So there's still a stigma. Most people don't even understand what it is. I don't understand what it is. And this was before, for me, it was before they came out with the Gardasil shots. They had, like, just come out with it.
The shots?
The HPV vaccines.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, like, when I was growing up, they didn't have them. So, like, you don't get them. But now, I think it's part of the vaccine protocol, like, for you to get it when you're a teenager.
Cool.
Like, if you're a girl. I don't know if guys get it too. I'm not sure. I really don't know how it works because I never got it. So I'd always been with partners that had very limited other sexual partners. So yeah, his body count's very low. And once I got with Steve, you know, I'm in, like, in a serious relationship. I'm like, well, I don't really have to worry about getting vaccinated about, like, the other malignant strains that I could possibly get, because we're exclusive. Like, we're not seeing anyone else, and he's safe. I made him get tested.
We have a nice little closed relationship.
Yeah. So he knows, that's all he knows about.
As far as I know, as far as I'm aware, Nikki's got headphones on. I can't quite hear what she's saying.
He can't hear us.
What'd you say?
I said he can't hear us.
So, yeah, I'm going to try to read lips. I'm not good at it. But anyway, look. You're fine.
Yeah, just I know. I want to give you a hug.
We wish we could hug you.
I needed my mom to be in the room because I was, like, so shook by it. Like,
yeah.
I mean, even if you got chlamydia, you know, even if you got herpes, a couple of my friends got herpes around this age. Was like 20. And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, that to me was like a death sentence. That's how they felt too.
Yeah.
But even that, like, there's so many treatments, and, like, they had the one outbreak and they haven't had it since.
Right.
And we're all in, like, our mid 30s now. They have not had an outbreak since then. And I remember my friend, like, crying to me, and I was, like, crying with her because that was, like, so
it's visceral.
Much.
Yeah,
like, whoa, herpes. But, like, then you find out through talking and, like, you know, like, once you get to a certain age too, like, I heard that over 40% of adults over the age of 40 have herpes. That blew my mind as a statistic. But, like, when you learn the numbers like that, it makes it a lot less daunting for her to, like, open up to partners. For HPV, I don't even think I would even.
And look, the way
it's a benign, if it's a benign strain of HPV, if it's the malignant kind, like, definitely take care of your health, get in there, like, stay on top of it. Like, your doctor can tell you if it's a malignant strain or not. And then you definitely have to tell your partners. But if it's a benign strain, it, like, they literally, like, won't ever feel anything. And it's not, I don't know. It's,
and
just,
by the way, look, about
spreading.
What I'm about to say is not about your situation. It's really just sort of my own experience in life. Every time that you put out to the universe that you're going to take yourself very seriously about something, the universe is going to shove you back and be like, just chill out.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what you're getting a little bit of.
Because you're so strict about.
Yeah. So I'm not telling you don't be safe or anything. I'm just saying you thought about it so fucking much. You focused on it so fucking hard. This is almost like the universe's way of saying, see,
it's like,
stop, just chill.
You have to have, like, this abundance. I don't want to be cheesy here, but, like,
no, I know.
It reminds me of, like, when people are so tight with finances and they're, like, so scared of, like, spending, and they're, like, so, like, cheap with, like, they don't tip very much, and they're just, like, so concerned about how much they're spending. Those are usually the people that, like, get in a random accident and have to pay a bunch of money for something. Like, those random financial things happen
just
to them.
Calamity.
And then they're like, well, see, that's why I don't spend very much, because, like, you never know when something like this is going to happen. But I kind of feel like chicken and egg situation.
You attract things sometimes.
Yeah, and I don't want to say you attracted this, but I'm just saying, like, maybe it I is kind of a sign. It's a no.
I think it's your fault.
No, it's not your fault. Okay, but it's bad. Like a sign to just like your chlamydia is one that goes away. It's not permanent. Yeah. And it's kind of like you're getting like a
little permission slip to chill out.
Little slap on little the shove, face, like a little shove, like, hey,
stop taking chill yourself out. So serious.
Like, be responsible,
yes,
for
please,
sure.
Please, please, please.
But it's not the end of the world.
Yes.
It's healthy to have these conversations with people too.
Yes.
And also, like, maybe you haven't been feeling compatibility with some partners because they got kind of scared off by how upset, like, how much you're, like, scared of this.
Yes.
You know, so it doesn't really turn people on, like, when your partner is like really scared of having sex with you.
Yeah, that's just a fact.
So yeah, I don't want to say be responsible. Absolutely keep getting tested before you have sex with a partner, but it doesn't have to be the center of your sexual world.
Exactly.
Well
put.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to give you the wrong advice. I don't want to put advice.
We're not saying dangerous advice.
Yeah.
We're saying please
definitely,
keep it up.
Yeah.
But just take the seriousness out of your brain a little bit. Like this strictness that you have.
So nothing in life is guaranteed.
Right.
You can take all the precautions
and
you want.
Just did.
And you should.
And she just did.
But sometimes you just have to be like, all right, like I'm going to continue being a responsible person, but there's some things I can't control.
And she couldn't control this. This happened to her. How strict was she about it?
Yeah, exactly.
That's all I'm saying. Like, it's just like, it still worked out for you, in my opinion. You are not damned. You feel damned.
You're not damaged.
Damned.
Yeah, damaged
you're not
goods.
Damaged goods. You're not any of that stuff. Like, you're Gucci, man. Like, you just got to zoom out a little bit, look at your situation and go, no, I am good. This is fine.
Yeah.
I did get shoved back a little bit, and now I can see how silly I was being before because I am fine.
And it's not part of your sexual identity.
Absolutely
no.
Not. Fuck no. Anyways, with that, and we hope that you were rooting for you.
Yeah.
But with that, we are going to take a
break. We are going to go to our sponsors.
Yeah.
So buy what we tell you to buy.
That's right. We can sell advertising right now based on what's going on with you emotionally.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this. When you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to, like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us. Like,
listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're, like, kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So, huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show.
Okay, we are back. Hopefully you bought whatever we told you to buy.
Thank you.
And also checked out our Patreon, patreon.com/sticky, S-T-I-K-K-I. We do a live stream every month. Sometimes we have free roll poker tournaments. Sometimes Steve does Crypto Corner every week.
Every Tuesday.
We do Shit They Don't Tell You After Dark, although we're very behind on this one last month. We need to do another Shit They Don't Tell You After Dark.
Well, your poker shit got in the way.
We're sorry, yeah. WSOP is still happening right now, so... Anyway, we do a lot of stuff, fun stuff over there. You get episodes in advance, all kinds of stuff. So check it out. The community is really awesome on Discord. So many things.
The best.
And
you get to hear this podcast a day early.
Yeah. We're moving on to our next question. This one is titled, Question About Being a Woman. They did it all like wonky.
Nice.
Yeah. In society.
Capital and then uncaps. Yeah. I love it.
It reminds me of the SpongeBob meme every time.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah. Hi, Nikki and Steve. Please keep me anonymous or make up a cool, awesome nickname for me. Thanks.
Thank you, Platypus.
Why is it always some random animal?
It's not a random animal. How was it a random animal last time?
Gumball Trap Shooter.
Okay, Gumball Trap Shooter.
Thank you.
Probably the worst nickname we've ever heard about on the show.
Trap Shooter Platypus.
Better.
This question is mostly for Nikki. Sorry, Steve.
I'm gonna go to John.
Okay, no, you have to stay here and listen.
Okay.
How do you navigate being a woman in this world? And is it normal to have an existential crisis about it in your early/mid-20s? Does it ever get easier? I'm 26. Back in my teens, I was a very, quote unquote, not like the other girls type, like hanging with the boys, thought girls were drama, etc. Then in my early 20s, I started to see patterns in men that I hated. Started to get angry when I was being catcalled, started feeling like I was walking around with a target on my back. Things totally flipped for me, and I started to hate men. Now, 26, I'm working on coming to terms with some sort of middle ground, not having any hatred or making assumptions about anyone based on gender, but I still have my guard up everywhere I go just in case. I'm constantly exhausted with going in public by myself. Am I living in an overly paranoid way? Do I need to chill? Is this a normal experience? Thanks. I love you guys. Okay.
Cute.
One, I can relate. But two, I need a little bit more context of what made you hate men. Because trauma can play a big part in your feelings and it shouldn't be invalidated. I think some of it needs to be worked through with a therapist. If there was any sort of like actual like big trauma in your life or associated with men, not just like the stuff that unfortunately all women go through, but like if there was like a particular incident or several, then definitely see a therapist about that. But in general, let's start from the beginning. How do you navigate being a woman in the world? Is it normal to have an existential crisis about it in your early/mid-20s? I navigate the being a woman, I guess. I don't have anything to compare it to, so
hey,
I've never been a man. But there
would you like me to weigh in on that?
No. I'm mansplaining me how to navigate being a woman.
Being a man.
Oh, okay, got it. I do like to observe people and notice differences, like general differences, and I think that something that helps is finding all the pros about being a woman. There's a lot of cons. You can point out all the cons. There's freaking a laundry list of cons. And I think that sometimes men overlook that because all they see are the cool things. Oh, women get drinks paid for by guys. Oh, the guys
have boobs and they're fur free.
Yeah, and guys pay for the dinner. Oh, most of them are as expected. Yeah, oh, whatever. Girls want men for their money and they get the best of a marriage because of
exactly.
And so they just have this like rainbow vision of like how easy it is to be a female and like they don't get like the constant
we don't get into clubs for free
struggle, how you have to like walk on this tightrope for society and like be like positive but not too positive, not over your like not overly clingy, not in your face, but you have to like work like a man but also be expected to take care of the kids and do all the cooking and cleaning at home like a woman, and like also like stand up for yourself but don't get too bossy, but like you definitely need to take a stance and like don't be pushed over and like don't like there's so many fucking rules that are like crisscrossing all the times that I've just learned to do my own thing, like I've gotten really in tune with what Nikki Limo as a person likes to do regardless of gender. Like, what am I interested in? Mm-hmm. If I was living in a bubble, what am I interested in? What fills me with joy. What can I do alone for a week at a time, like a week straight, and not get bored of?
A lot of things.
What do I? And I operate my life that way. I love learning new things. I feel very capable, regardless of my tiny woman brain, that I can like learn new things pretty quickly if I'm interested in them.
Hey, speaking of that too, there is a trope about women too, where it's like, you guys have to be able to communicate with each other like constantly on the phone and shit.
Yeah, that's why I relate to you a lot socially about having more guy friends than girls growing up, because I didn't understand groups of women, like girl groups. They like to sit and talk for long periods of time about things I'm not interested in, but typically like celebrities and boys or whatever. I sometimes like hearing about boys, but like I don't know, the things that I just wanted to go play games. Yeah. Like, and the guys like to play games. The guys have like a more laid back banter. I like roasting people, as yeah, you know, too. Like breaking balls.
Me too.
I was raised in a family that constantly breaks each other's balls. And that's kind of like how we show love.
It's and how I receive love.
I have ruined quite a few friendships by accident with girls because I thought we were just joking. And like when I roast you, it's like me saying like, I know you well enough that I can roast you, and that was such a sick roast. Like, I think you'll appreciate that. Like, because if you roasted me in a way that was like, "Ooh, that was clever," I'm like, "Yes, she fucking knows me." Yeah. Like, we're
that's
homies.
How I receive love, yeah.
And it ruined a lot of friendships, and I got very confused, very sad, very emotionally distraught. So yeah, that part was hard. And I was like, "Fuck, I can't understand girls. I understand guys way better." And so like, I was like, hanging with guys. I was a guy's girl for sure. And then
this is even before you were an adult.
Yeah, absolutely. This was through high school. Then I went through my first breakup and got drunk and hooked up with each of my guy friends, like one by one by accident. Like, it was just like,
oopsies,
you know, we kissed, but they took it very seriously because apparently they actually were crushing on me the whole time and I had no idea. And that's when I learned that even if I saw them as friends, like guys don't necessarily view you as a friend. Like, you're not a buddy, like maybe. Like, sometimes you are, but like, I don't know. The lines are very blurred. Sometimes they're just waiting in the wings.
Yeah.
That turned me off on having a lot of guy friends as well. So then I was just a fucking loner for a long ass time because I was like, well, I don't understand women and I don't want to have guys feeling like they are going to eventually get to fuck me if we hang out long enough, you know? Yep. And like, so
down payment on a future fuck session, as I like to say.
And that's when I was like, I'm just going to do what makes me happy on my own. And I think everyone should go through a period of where you live alone and you just fucking figure those things out. And then you'll naturally find a group of people that are interested in those things. So the females that I have made really close friends with, usually we have something in common, like a common interest. And the girls that I have been friends with since high school, we have each had a circle of guy friends. Like, we were each the guy's girl in those circles, and we got together because we understand friendships that way.
Yeah.
You know, where we don't have to be talking on the phone every day.
It's
and we
less
don't
maintenance.
There's no drama ever. And so you'll find a few people like that, and maybe you'll have a smaller circle of girlfriends, but it'll be a better circle of girlfriends. So that's navigating women. Oh, also figuring out like the pros about being a woman. Like, there's a laundry list of cons, but then, you know, there's some things that are pretty cool. Like, yeah, it sucks that every industry I tend to pick out, it tends to be a male dominated industry. And there are a lot of biases towards women in those industries.
If only you pick knitting, you know?
Yeah. Or like hairstyling or something like that. Yeah. But yeah, I had to be drawn to like more, I guess, left-brained activities.
You're a disruptor.
I'm a disruptor.
Thank you.
And it can be like intimidating because of those biases, but it's something I really like to do. And I'm not doing it to impress those guys. And I honestly don't have a respect for a lot of them. So I can't be doing it for that. I can't be doing it for how they perceive me. I just have to be doing it for me. And that's how I encourage anyone to operate. Like, forget your gender. I don't like any labels, actually. I don't like identifying by my gender or by the diet that I'm on. Like, there's so much pressure for people to to like have me call myself a vegan, and I was like, there's a lot of
being called a Scorpio, it's like, hey, chill.
I'm not part of a political party. No, I am a diehard Scorpio. But I live my life by this life. No.
But you're what rising? No. See what I'm saying?
A Gemini rising.
So let's chill out.
The duality.
Let's not call it one thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
But there's some cool things. You know, there's some I have gotten more opportunities sometimes in those male dominated industry because they wanted more
variety,
diversity. Yep. And so, like, you could argue that, you know, less skilled people might get in, like less skilled women might have opportunities, and people that's argue and that. That's not fair.
Yeah.
But it gave me an opportunity to prove myself in a faster way than I could have as a guy. Like, maybe it would have taken me longer to prove myself as a guy because there's so many other guys and I wouldn't have gotten that opportunity. So there's different sides of that coin. When I go out to dinner, like, yeah, a lot of times it's custom that the guy pays for it. I don't need them to pay for it, but that's kind of cool. Okay, there's like some cool things. Like, I'm really grasping to find like cool things about being a woman.
You're doing good.
I get to be sparkly. Look, today I just decided to wear sequins. You and did. Guess what? No one can say shit about it because I live in Las Vegas, Nevada, yep. And I'm a female and I like to be sparkly.
Although, as a guy,
you could be sparkly too. I'm not going to like, but you know, like, I get to be sparkly.
I tried to give you shit about it. I was like, you better take that fucking off. And you're like, no, I want to be sparkly. I'm like, all right. Yeah.
And guys can be sparkly too, but you know, feels good sometimes to embrace the femininity of being,
especially male ice skaters. Let's be real; they broke the ceiling for that.
They did
for everyone.
They shattered the glass ceiling of women, of men in sparkles.
They sure did.
And you're 26. You're just now being like, "This is me, bitch. Like, this is my life." Like, so I think this is a really good time for you to have these kind of thoughts. And I'm glad you stopped hating men. I think that you can. I think treating people as individuals. And always. Not based off of their gender or political party or diet or
ideology,
religion, ideology. Like, what if you can just learn to treat each person as a brand new, fresh, clean slate, as an individual person, I think that you will do well socially in life. Like, amen. You will naturally gravitate towards like-minded people.
You'll find the gems.
Yeah. And you'll have interesting conversations because you'll remove those biases of, like, you only needing to talk to people that think exactly like you, you know, and you'll learn to appreciate the differences, whether it's the differences in gender or the differences in like life views or whatever. And I think it creates a more enriching social environment for you.
I agree.
So I hope that helps. Do what makes you comfortable. Always.
And get a female kitty when you get a chance, because
she's
the
one
best.
She's in a male dominated kitty family.
I know, but she's the best, and
we
love
have CC
her.
Our female cat that's been chilling with us this whole podcast episode.
She's our mama kitty.
Yeah,
she was the mama kitty to our litter of kittens that we had, and we fell in love with her.
Oh, but one last thing. When you go out and walk and you're like, am I overly paranoid? I don't think you can ever be overly paranoid. I don't trust anyone when I'm walking outside. I often have headphones in with no music playing because I'm hyper vigilant, and maybe I'm overly paranoid.
No,
I don't know.
I love it.
I almost got kidnapped a few times, and I am well aware that there are people that intend to harm out there.
Absolutely.
So
can't be too careful.
No, I don't think you could be overly paranoid.
Carry pepper spray, girl.
Yeah. But yeah, I think you're finding a good balance, and I'm happy for you. So thank you. What did I call her? Trapper. Trap snapper. Platypus.
Somehow you fixed it.
Yeah.
One of the first things I got you actually when we started dating was pepper spray.
I know.
Because like, yo.
I never had to use it, but I came close one time.
Yeah.
That guy that was in that alley, like I told you, and he started walking faster and faster behind me, and I had my pepper spray out, and like I showed, like basically
showed
like out, like yeah, I was just like,
yep,
running away from him with like waving it.
And was he still running?
He slowed down and went away. I also threw a dress. There was a random dresser in the middle of that alleyway.
And you threw it behind you?
Yeah.
Like you're in a fucking horror movie?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
I don't give a fuck.
I love it.
Don't start chasing me down an alley.
Don't be polite. Don't be polite.
Yeah, don't be polite to strange to weird men. That's what
people do. They do this weird thing where they're polite for no reason. You don't fucking know them. Why are you being polite to them?
Yeah, dude, these guys, they were blocking. It's a narrow-ass alley walkway thing. Yeah, yeah. I think I've vlogged it a couple times. It's like the size of two people width-wise. So it's very narrow, and it's creepy, and I try to get through that part as fast as I can, but it's the shortest distance to get through the two streets. Yes. And there were these two guys in an unmarked white van with the back door wide open.
Weird.
And like right by the alley. And they had orange vests on as if they're like some sort of public service fucking thing.
With the Pacific Doll Company.
I didn't buy it for a second. I noticed them. But they weren't standing next to the back of the van. Otherwise, I wouldn't have walked past it. But I noticed the van. I noticed that stuff. And then I just started sprinting down that fucking alley. And then I heard them like shuffle fast into the fucking alley. And I'm like, I fucking knew it. And I had the pepper spray ready to go.
Love it.
But I didn't have to use it. I threw a dresser down the alley. And they were like, this bitch is crazy.
Crazy.
I don't care. Go crazy bitch on people. If they're threatening you.
By the way, the pepper spray is for... You can just spray it behind you and it creates a fucking radius, dude.
Yeah, I was just scared of... just scared of getting my own self.
Have you been around it?
No.
Like when somebody sprays it? But I've heard
stories.
Bro, I had a stupid fucking friend who just had pepper spray and he sprayed it on his own leg to prove what a badass he was.
What the fuck?
Yeah, and then like, of course, like I just about vomited because I was like 3 feet away from the cat or 4 feet away.
That's how I feel when you're cooking downstairs.
Thank you. Well, I do cook with very...
like, I start coughing because it's like the pepper is so strong.
I do a lot of spices.
And the Tabasco, the vinegar in the air, it just like suffocates my throat.
Also, I put habanero in there too.
See, you're kind wild. Of a badass. You're kind of a badass and I kind of have to suffer because of it.
Yeah, true.
So, our next one is titled, Another Heartbreak Email. Oh, no.
Oh, sad.
Okay. Hi, Nikki. Hi, Steve. I would like to remain anonymous. Please knight me with one of your amazing nicknames.
Okay, Astroverse.
Astroverse, I like it. It's not an animal.
See?
Astroverse bat.
Why did you make it an animal? See, why'd you do that? Why'd you ruin it?
Because he wanted one of our amazing signature nicknames.
I see now.
First, compliments. Words can't describe how much I love you guys and appreciate you. Oh. I was introduced to you guys through the JK family. I've been following you since the first Shit They Don't Tell You episode. Oh my God. Wow. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
You're like the older brother and sister I wish I had. You're not much older than me, but I also look up to you as almost parental figures. You guys have truly been the voice I needed every week. You're the voices I wish I had growing up. You've put so many smiles on my face. I hope you guys know how much you're appreciated and loved, not just by me, but I'm sure all your listeners. Thank you. That is so freaking sweet. Thank you so much.
Thank you, son.
Wow. Yeah, thank you, my son. How do you know it's a guy?
I'm just assuming.
Is it Astroverse?
Yeah.
This is probably a long one. I'll be honest. I think I've been going through depression and I don't have anyone to turn to. I'm kind of hitting rock bottom. So I finally decided to turn to you guys. This is where you come when you're at rock bottom,
That's
baby.
It.
We got you.
It's called digging deep.
It's called the quarry.
The bargain bin.
Yeah. So finally decided to turn to you guys before maybe trying out therapy. Why are there cute, cuddly kittens?
It's mama and
licking
and
each
her
other
son.
Next to you.
It's pretty cute.
If you have depression, just come over to the kitten couch.
Yeah, just check out what's going on
check
on my angle.
Check out the kitten couch.
It's mama and her own baby that we kept because we love them both.
So I feel like this might be a long one because it's got a lot of pent up feelings inside that might all come out at once. Don't feel pressured. I guess I just want to be heard and maybe receive some guidance. For context, I'm a 32-year-old male currently living overseas for the last 6 years. I first met my ex when I was 20. So 12 years ago, and we were both studying abroad. We hit it off great and had a loving relationship during our time overseas, but after the study program ended, we both went back to our respective countries. We were in a long-distance relationship for about 2 years. With long distance, we knew that we would eventually have to plan to be physically together. That's when I took the leap and moved to her country. This wasn't a difficult move for me because I also come from her cultural background. My family just immigrated to America where I was born and raised. I packed up my entire life to be with her. We spent a total of 8 years together. We really did have a loving relationship, but in the end, it didn't work out. We met during our early 20s, and as we were reaching our 30s, we had just both changed as people. Our values, wants, and needs changed. We knew that we weren't going to be a good fit for each other and decided to end things. But even before the end of our relationship, we were already in a rocky place. We were both independent, but I definitely needed her more. I wanted to spend time with her and live together. But in her culture, it's common for a woman to live with her parents until marriage. I respected that and waited for her. But in the end, she did something that was quite uncommon. She moved out into an apartment of her own. Prior to her move, she promised we would spend more time together and actually spend nights together. But I think because it was her first time living on her own, she wanted to enjoy her social time with friends and coworkers. She ended up spending more time with her friends and coworkers than with me in our last year together. We've had conversations about this, but nothing ever changed. I allowed her to live her life, but I was also hurt. She had a rule about me leaving her home before 11 p.m. Whenever we were together. I can count the number of times we have slept over at each other's home on one hand. I used to joke that she was worse than Cinderella because even Cinderella would stay out till midnight. But that rule never applied to her friends and coworkers. Oh, fuck. I would be pretty pissed too.
You're getting wrecked. You're getting the short end, bud.
So she allowed them to stay at her house well into the early morning. Even male friends and coworkers.
You're the least favy, bud.
Ah, shit, dude. I don't know if she ever cheated on me. I just trusted her. But towards the end of our relationship, the topic of cheating did come up, which I was never able to shake off, which eventually led to our breakup. Ooh, sounds like it. I'll admit, I did things I'm not proud of because of the issues that we were having, not just the time spent together, but other things as well. I ended up finding someone who did want to spend time with me. Nothing sexual came from this meeting. In the year that I knew this girl, we almost... the most we ever did was hold hands, and that was because she got drunk and I dragged her into a cab to go home. But I did develop feelings for this new girl, and I told my ex about it. What threw me off was that my ex called me selfish, not for developing feelings for someone else, but for telling her. We had a talk that I never thought we would ever need. She said that in her culture, it's expected for couples to cheat. What?
Okay, your ex is whack.
Yeah, this is... I don't think she's telling the truth.
She's just fucking making shit up.
She says, it's the norm. She expected me to cheat just as she knows she will cheat on me too. What?
Okay, yeah, fuck this. This is not... This is uneven values.
Despite the rampant cheating in the culture, the couples will always come home to each other and stay together. It's like an unspoken rule in the culture.
That's so romantic.
They know their partner is cheating or will cheat, but there will never be evidence. I knew cheating was common in the culture, but I didn't expect my ex to also follow this. So the conversation never came up. But after that conversation, we broke up because it's not what I wanted. Good for you.
Yeah, uneven values.
After breaking up with my ex of 8 years, my love life has been non-existent. It's been very difficult. I think a part of me is traumatized by the experience of loving someone and building towards a future with them for 8 years, only to have it all disappear.
Throw it away.
I really tried to find love. The girl I developed feelings for, I eventually confessed that I liked her, but she didn't reciprocate. I had a sexual relationship with another girl who I wanted to be with too, but she also didn't reciprocate my feelings. She just wanted to have a friends with benefits relationship. I did develop feelings for a flight attendant. We spent about a week together because she didn't want to have any flight trips due to COVID, but she eventually returned to her base country before borders closed up. Through mutual friends, I heard that she liked me too, but we both never acted on our feelings because we both knew we couldn't do it long distance. I've been rejected for multiple dates, and I'm not getting too much luck online dating either. I met my ex prior to Tinder, so the online dating scene is a new experience for me that I'm having difficulties navigating, and I'm just not comfortable with online dating either. I do better communicating face-to-face. I personally want to stay in this country. I spent a majority of my adulthood overseas, so I felt like a foreigner in my home country. I established myself in this country and I do love life here. This is home for me. I'm not particularly close to my friends or family, so I have little desire to be back home and closer to family. But as an expat, it's difficult to find any form of relationship because people are constantly coming and leaving the country. As for dating locals, I haven't found much luck there either. The problem is I blend in physically, so they expect me to also blend in culturally, but that's not the case. I was born and raised in America, so of course I'll be culturally different in ways. And this problem probably wouldn't exist if I looked quote unquote white, because the locals are more forgiving and expect a different experience when dating a visibly foreign looking face. Also, I'm a halfie like you, Nikki, so I blend in, and also I don't. It creates another layer of confusion with interacting with locals. On top of this, many locals simply don't want to date foreigners, let alone marry. A foreign experience may be fun
for
an
Where the hell is this cat?
I'm guessing India.
Okay.
It sounds like India to me, although they haven't said the culture yet.
Yeah.
It sounds like India from what he's describing.
Okay.
But I don't know. This is just a stab in the dark.
Total guess.
And I have been told by locals that I have another disadvantage. Locals typically stay away from meeting people who have been in long-term relationships. To sum up, dating has been hard. I met my most recent love interest 2 years ago. We are coworkers. It took me a long time to open up to myself to date after my ex. When I met this girl, I felt like we hit it off great. She gave me hope that I could love and be loved again. It took my time with her, and after about a year of getting to know each other, I asked her out for a date, but she turned me down because she had a boyfriend. The year we spent getting to know each other, not once did she mention a boyfriend. I asked how our weekend is, which she did, never did she mention a boyfriend. This brought back all the trauma I had with my ex. I thought that maybe this was all part of the cheating culture. She told me that she was just being kind to me during all our interactions, and she only saw me as a coworker. I can understand why she never mentioned her boyfriend, especially as coworkers where you want to keep your work and life private and separate.
Oh, come on.
But I can't feel like she misled me. The time we spent together, the gift exchanges, she even personally made me cookies once and got me a birthday cake.
Yeah, she did.
I probably took her kind gestures to heart because I've been lacking any form of intimacy for years, so I latched on to any form of attention I was given, but it hurt when she rejected me. I honestly, I can't blame her for that one, but not mentioning a boyfriend's kind of weird.
That's what I'm saying.
But yeah, I did do a lot of nice things for my guy friends, and then I was kind of weirded out when they thought that was... Right. Anyway, I tried to forget her, but I couldn't. I know it hasn't helped for me us work together either. After the rejection, we spent about a year awkwardly around each other. Recently this year, we've become more comfortable around each other again. It almost feels like when we first met. And with COVID easing up, we just ended up with the same company, volleyball team too. I found out she broke up with her boyfriend, and I can't help but hope that maybe she'll change and develop feelings for me. Honest truth, I know this is a hopeful wishing. I know this is a one-sided love. I'm usually the one to initiate everything. I wouldn't give your hopes up, honestly.
Yeah, you're good, bud.
She has never given me any indication that she's looking for something beyond a work relationship with me, and I respect that, but I can't help to be hopeful and love her. I don't want to use the word love because my experiences, but I can only describe my feelings for her as love. Oh no, bro.
Don't do this. Why?
It's been 2 years already. I plan to change jobs by the end of my work contract because seeing her each day just brings me a lot of pain. I feel hurt. I'm hoping that being away from her will allow me to heal and maybe find love again. There's so much more I want to say. I try to simplify this letter. I know this is a lot. I don't know what I'm asking you guys. I guess I just need someone to listen. Sorry if this feels like I'm using you as an emotional punch bag. I just need someone to listen. Thank you, Nikki. Thank you, Steve. Hope you guys are doing well. Love you.
My goodness. Thanks for using us.
Yeah, the Astroverse. Bat.
Poor Astroverse.
Bat.
Shut up. Look, bro, you just gotta chill out a little bit.
You're a hopeless romantic.
Yes.
For
but
sure.
But you're projecting a lot of feelings on the people.
Yeah.
So you just gotta chill out a little bit, dial it in.
If it was once or twice, I'd be like, oh, maybe that person was misleading. But it sounds like this happens to you quite often.
You just like meet somebody and then you're projecting your whole future with them before you even get a chance to go to bat, right, brother? Like you gotta
And
just,
they're like, oh no, we're just friends. Oh, no. Man.
And honestly, here's where you're fucking the game up. You could actually have a spark with them. That could be happening. But because you're taking it so seriously
so fast,
from the jump,
yeah.
You're turning them off.
Yeah.
So you're like, it's like when you're starting a fire and you're blowing on it too hard, right? You just put the fucking ember out. Like you got to like coax the fire out slowly. You can't be doing this shit where you're fucking projecting your entire life that you are seeing with them in the future and you're in love with them before you even get to hang with them. That's wild.
I am concerned though because it sounds like you value romance and love, your love life, kind of like more than anything right now. I haven't heard you mention career or anything. I know that you mentioned
or anything about
liking
yourself.
Living there. Yeah. But it sounds like the culture just isn't working for you.
Yeah.
And I know you said that you sound like a foreigner in your own country, but like. I don't know, man. Like, it sounds like...
It's like a fish out of water who can't fucking get any oxygen
like
in the gills.
A lot of pain.
Yeah.
Like, you're signing up for a lot of pain, and, like, maybe you'll find someone that, like, fits this weird, like, super small niche that you have, but it just sounds like you're not going to blend in. And I get the, like, looking like you belong, but you don't actually belong. I totally understand that. I... personally have to be somewhere where my values match more.
Yeah.
I don't think I could, no matter how much I love the culture of another country, I just don't think that I could ever fully feel at home there or like understood there, you know? And it sounds like you're going through a lot of being misunderstood. And I don't know, I would consider maybe spending a couple of years back in your home country.
Yeah, you need to change of environment or something.
Yeah,
you need
something
to give. Because, dude, you just keep going to bat and striking out. Also, like I said, these expectations that you're putting into all these interactions is wild. It's wild, bro.
Yeah.
The only place where that kind of shit works is fucking Love Island. So, you know, I've never...
Maybe go on Love Island.
I've never given this piece of advice before, but I think you should probably go on Love Island.
We'll watch it for
I would love
sure,
to watch
man.
It.
I would root for
He's
you.
He's in the age range. I think he could make it on Love Island.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even know how to help you here, because it's, I don't think you should be so traumatized that you never try at love. I just think you need maybe a different approach.
Less intense, bro. Just dial it back. You don't need this.
But
here's
also,
the thing.
But like, he wants real love, and like, the cheating's a part of the culture. Like, and you know that you can't deal with that.
Well,
so
right. Exactly.
I don't think it's the right fit for you.
I agree with you. But he's, you know, made a bunch of suppositions and decided that he really belongs there, which, you know, maybe there's some context that we're missing. Although I did just hear life story, so I think I have your fucking context. But, dude, yeah, you need, something's got to give, right? And, you know, I think maybe change your environment would be really good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. If this is like the number one thing that you have, like, that's pressing you, I think that a change of environment is like just the way to go.
Yeah.
But, you know, don't do anything you're not comfortable with, obviously. And keep your head up. Don't settle on someone.
Amen.
That doesn't share your life values.
Amen.
I think
find
you're doing
your match.
I think you're doing the right thing. Yeah. You know, when you broke up and you're like, I don't even know what to do. Like, I spent so much time in the relationship. You know, throw those things away. Yeah. Sunken time does not matter.
Sunk cost fallacy. Just find your match. That's what it's all got to be about. But don't project
Don't put so much pressure on, like, this could be the one.
I'm in love.
Yeah.
Nah, bud.
Take it slow, man.
You don't know you're in love. But because, like, honestly, you could have, like, a great first two dates. And then all of a sudden on the third date, you find out some deal breaker shit.
You like the idea of love.
Exactly. You're building it all up
high. Let yourself actually experience it.
You're building Jenga towers, bro.
Yeah.
And like every little joint is weak, you find out later, because you built the tower very quickly.
Yeah. And in your mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's partially your fault. Take responsibility and accountability
for
it.
But it's not, all hope is not lost.
Absolutely not.
You just have to change your approach. Just tweak it.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. You met somebody, and I'm not telling you to sit there and poke holes in them. I'm just saying you met somebody, take it a day at a time. Don't do this bullshit to yourself where you're like projecting months and years in the future with them.
Yeah. Okay. Wait. There's another piece though, because he said he spent like 2 years with his coworker that he developed feelings for.
Exactly.
But like, so the whole time he thought.
He built up this whole thing.
Yeah. But that's like, wasn't too fast. That was like 2 years of like not knowing if she has a relationship.
Yeah.
So like, there's some middle ground. Like, if you're interested in someone and you guys have been hanging out a lot and it's been 3 months and you really got to know each other.
Pull the trigger.
Bring it up. Yeah.
Pull the trigger.
Yeah.
Amen.
And if you get rejected, that happens.
So what? Shoot your shot.
Yeah. Move on to the next.
Even Steph misses threes.
Keep yearning for that person.
We all watched game five. Even Steph misses threes.
There you go.
And he sure as shit did all of game
five. Steve gets into one season of basketball and
he knows
everything now.
Ask me a basketball question.
What is a dribble?
Can we have that artwork? I have no idea what that is.
Honestly, you could have made up an answer.
I have to bounce the ball. I barely know.
You have to bounce
You know what, though? Because I'm new to basketball. Well, I'm new to like watching like a lot of basketball.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, that's traveling. And then they don't get called for it. I'm like, oh, never mind. But I yelled at the bar because like, you know, I'm a fucking shithead. And I'm like, that's fucking traveling. And then like, no, it never gets called. I'm like, oh, you know, whatever. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess not. Yeah.
I said, I'm going traveling, going to Bali in a week.
To the Palisades. I don't fucking
know.
Didn't
you used to play basketball?
Yeah. But we lost every game.
We weren't very good, though.
Every game I got most improved, though.
You warmed that bench quite a bit.
I did. But, well, no, actually, I played because I was supposed to be a rebound guy, so it was awful. I was a center.
Mm.
It was awful. But I got most improved, which means I was that bad at the start. Getting most improved is bad, by the way. It's not good.
I got most improved in soccer.
Yeah, see, that's bad.
Yeah, I was bad.
That means you suck.
I actually was the girl that scored into the wrong goal.
I did that too in soccer. I did that too in soccer. I was like fucking 7 years
old.
How old
were you? Okay, now I was older.
That's worse.
I was 12.
Okay, being in double digits is rough.
It's my first time playing a sport.
That's,
I mean, no, not
fun.
Not any sport. I did play baseball when I was a kid, but
thank God I wasn't double digits.
Yeah, that's all
I gotta
say. Yeah,
dude, in Little League, by the way, I was the catcher. That tells you a lot, because you know how in Little League,
yeah,
they don't really pitch it. Like, your coach underhands it to their own team.
Oh,
so there's no point in having a fucking catcher.
I was the pitcher.
That's sick.
I know. It's pretty sick.
Did you pitch it well?
Through like a girl. And I was like, yeah, I do.
Yeah, I do. And you're like, look at these muscles. And everyone just keeps hitting home runs. Yeah.
I threw pretty well, I thought.
Yeah.
I mean, I had my dad like yelling at me the whole time. So like,
so he wasn't
I have to. No, he's like making sure like I'm throwing it right. That's you know, tight. He's intense.
So sick. He is intense.
But anyway, we do have a few more questions in here that we will get to on the next episode. Thank you so much for writing. If you have a question, you could submit it podcast@nikki.limo. I will not read them in advance, but you know, you could ask us about anything.
We like to read them cold, okay? We like to read them.
That's why that one was really long.
Yeah.
We usually kind of like skim through the long ones, but I felt like this person really needed to vent. And yeah,
it was
well written
enough.
It was well written, and we got time, okay?
That's right.
We got some time.
That's right.
Tell us about all about your love life, and we'll be your venting group.
That's it.
Your vent pad.
That doesn't exist.
Vent pad.
Doesn't exist. It's not a thing. All right, we're going to go. So, yeah, we'll see you guys in the next one. Yeah, patreon.com/sticky. Thanks for watching. We'll see you in the next.
See you next one. Bye.
Bye.
Didn't even have to hit the breakup button today. They were all broken up with already.
Crazy. Everyone already
did it on your own.
That's nice.
They're
I was like that. That's nice.
They're learning.
That's so
they're
nice.
Improving.
I like that.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.